Good morning, everyone. Apologies for being 10 minutes late. We will get through our business very economically, hopefully. Good morning. My name is Brendan McEwen. Welcome to this special meeting of Stafford Borough Council Planning Committee, which I will be chairing. A couple of points before we do start, for everyone present. If you have a mobile phone, please switch it off or switch it to silent. And can I ask members of the public to refrain from commenting from the public gallery. If there is any disruption, and not that I expect you to be disruptive, you can be asked to leave the meeting. On my right, I have officers from the planning department, and on my left, I have officers from law and governance. Officers from the planning department will present each application separately as it appears on the agenda. Members of the public who have indicated to speak will be given 10 minutes, and I will indicate when they have 1 minute left. Ward members are entitled to also speak up to 10 minutes, and again, they'll have a nod after nine. An audio recording is being taken of this meeting, which will be available to listen to on the Council's website. Members of the committee are reminded that they do not enjoy any immunity as that enjoyed by our colleagues in Parliament. Members may only deal with the planning applications before them in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework and the local plan, together with any other relevant planning matters. So after that, we do move on to the agenda. Page 2, apologies.
Not received, Chair. Thank you.
Declarations of members' interests or lobbying? No, thank you. And so we go to the planning applications on page 3. Right, page 3 is 23/38211, Aston Marina Litchfield Road, Stone. And I think it's Vanessa, you're going to go through this one with us. Thank you.
Thank you. The location plan shows the extent of the site outlined in red as we visited this morning. Aston Marina is located to the south of Litchfield Road, the A51, beyond which is the West Coast Main Line. Here. The application site is located to the northeast of the complex and measures 2.14 hectares. And an aerial view of the site. The site is predominantly surrounded by open fields. The marina is bound by the Trent and Worthy Canal to the south. Aston by Stone is to the west, which contains a number of listed buildings, and the settlement of Stone is to the northeast. The photo plan shows the location of the following photos. Image 1 is looking across the site from the access drive. Image 2 is looking towards the site from the car park. Image 3 is standing on the existing mound looking towards the A51. Image 4 is looking along the northern boundary, and the marina building is visible here. Image 5 is looking towards Aston by Stone. The church spire is visible here. Image 6 is looking towards the south. Image 7 has disappeared. Plan 1 is the proposed site plan. The proposal is for 724 ground-mounted solar panels, arranged in rows spaced 5 metres apart. The panels would generate 0.3 megawatts of electricity, which would be used by Aston Marina. The land would be excavated to accommodate the panels, and the excavated material would be utilised to regrade the surrounding land, which would be landscaped. The panel area would be bound by a fence here, and there will be 2 security camera posts here and here. Plan 2 shows the regrading. The red areas are to be excavated up to a depth of 3 metres, and the green areas are to be filled to a height of 4 metres, the highest point being here. Plan 3 shows existing sections at the top and proposed sections at the bottom. Section A, this one here, is along the northern boundary, from the northern boundary to the car park. Section B is through the western portion of the site. And section 3 is through the centre of the site, parallel with the road. Plan 4 shows the proposed solar panels, which would have a maximum height of 2.5 metres. Proposed 2 metre high mesh boundary fence and the 4.5 metre high security camera posts. In order to reduce the impact upon nearby heritage assets, a condition is recommended to reduce the height of the security camera post to 2.5 metres. Plan 5 is an indicative landscaping scheme which includes woodland planting. The proposal is considered to be acceptable in principle, and this small-scale energy scheme would generate electricity to be used by Aston Marina, which would support the expansion of the use of renewable energy. Also, the proposal would not result in the loss of best and most versatile agricultural land. The panels and fencing would be largely screened from view by the proposed cut and fill exercise. The regrading of the land and subsequent landscaping would exert a notable change to the existing landform and character of the site. However, this is not considered to be substantially harmful to the character of the area. The proposal is not considered to have a detrimental impact upon highway safety, and the Highways Authority have confirmed that the submitted construction traffic management plan is acceptable. The scheme is considered to be acceptable with regards to flooding and drainage, and a method statement has been provided to prevent any silty runoff entering the canal network. The proposal is considered to have a limited impact upon protected species and would provide a net gain to biodiversity through the proposed landscaping. The proposal would not impact upon any protected trees, and the indicative landscaping is considered to be acceptable, with the final details being secured by a condition. The proposal would not impact upon the Cannock Chase SAC, residential amenity, nor the nearby railway. The scheme, subject to conditions, is considered to cause less than substantial harm to the setting of nearby heritage assets. The harm is considered to be outweighed by the wider public benefits of providing renewable energy and supporting the construction industry. In conclusion, the proposal is considered to comply with the development plan and MPPF and is recommended for approval subject to the conditions listed. Thank you.
Thank you, Vanessa. Thank you. I don't believe we have an objector to this. We do have a supporter, Mr. Neil Nichols. Neil? Take a seat. So we have 10 minutes.
Yes.
We'll let you know after 9.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, since forming Aston Marina in 2008, our commitment has been to the visual appeal of the site and preserving the beautiful views and quintessential English countryside surrounding our development. This has remained at the forefront as the site has expanded and grown. We are committed to the highest standards of professionalism, which is evidenced in the awards we have achieved. Since 2022, we have been awarded Staffordshire Chamber of Commerce Hospitality, Leisure and Tourism Award winner 2024, NCSC Group, which is Stafford and Newcastle Colleges Employer of the Year 2022, the Wedding Industry Awards Highly Commended Award 2024, Enjoy Staffordshire Awards Business Event Venue of the Year Silver Award 2024, the Food Standards Agency Elite 5-star Award for Excellent Hygiene Standards since the business began. These awards demonstrate our passion and commitment to quality, responsibility and excellence. As a multi-award-winning business, we continue to attract visitors to Staffordshire to enjoy the beautiful setting, which is one of our unique selling points. Since 2019, pressures on the business have become increasingly challenging. COVID closures, followed by soaring costs, gas, electricity prices, cost of employment, cost of food, interest rates and now business rates. We continue to strive to adapt these challenges. Solo is one way we can invest now to improve our carbon footprint immediately, reduce our electricity consumption, and once they're paid for, reducing one of the massively increased costs of electricity. The solar array in this application has been specifically designed not to be excessive in size. The maximum output rated at 300 kVA, but in realistic terms would generate between 260 to 280 kVA, which is the optimal amount of electricity to be consumed by the business, with minimal excess to be sent back to the national grid. The primary objective being to be a sustainable business and not to profit directly from the sale of excess electricity. Aston Marina is committed to investing in energy efficiency, green renewable power sources, and working towards the government's 2050 net zero targets. The anticipated CO2 displacement is around 52.6 tonnes per year, which represents an emission saving equivalent to a reduction of 31 cars off the road per annum, or 2,460 additional trees planted. The proposed solar installation is one of many initiatives Aston Marina has undertaken in our continuing endeavour to reduce the carbon footprint in line with the local and national government's net zero targets to 2050. Previous and ongoing projects include installation of 3 air source heat pumps, generating heating, cooling and hot water 300 to 400% more efficiently than our previous method of LPG. Final stages are completed on new 10 charging points to be predominantly powered by renewable energy products produced on-site by ourselves. Ground source heat pump generating the hot water and heating for the boathouse, our multi-award-winning events venue. We've converted all electrical lighting from inefficient tube and filament types to a more efficient LED alternative. We installed power factor correction equipment to the main HV incoming supply, matching our power efficiency on site and reducing overall electrical use. 2 of our 3 kitchens are now fully electric with state-of-the-art efficient induction cooking equipment. Our third kitchen will be converted to electric in early 2025, which will enable us to remove all fossil fuels from the site by April 2025. We've installed smart monitoring technologies to allow us to review power usage, adjust heating and cooling settings, and run more efficiently as a business. The proposed site for the solar array is currently utilised wasteland unsuitable for agricultural purposes. Within the application, we've included an assessment conducted by the independent agricultural consultant from Reading Agricultural Consultants, who stated that the site for the purpose solar panels does not contain any best and most fertile agricultural land, and no lower quality land is available within the marine land holding for the site of solar panels. The installation of solar panels in this event does not preclude the agricultural management of the land, which can be continued to be grazed or cut. The use of an area approximately 0.1 hectare of low quality agricultural land for solar panel installation is therefore not significant. We've worked diligently to ensure that the solar array integrates seamlessly into the surrounding landscape. To address concerns about the visual impact, the design incorporates a natural basin achieved by digging to a depth of over 3 metres and recontouring the land using native earth materials. This is complemented by an extensive planting scheme, including evergreen trees and shrubs to create effective year-round natural screening. The panels themselves are carefully angled to reduce the height to minimise visibility. All trees and shrubs included in the scheme will be native species and specifically selected on the advice of a registered ecologist and landscape architect to ensure the maximum amount of biodiversity, natural shielding and the least impact on the landscape is achieved. A core principle of this project is ecological enhancement. Our planting scheme will result in a significant biodiversity net gain. 46% increase in habitat units, 65% increase in hedgerow units, and an over increase of 56% in biodiversity of the developed site. All of which have been independently verified, including the application. These net gains far overreach the minimum requirement of 10% as outlined in the 2024 Biodiversity Net Gain Regulations. The site will feature habitats that support pollinators, birds and small mammals. Additionally, the solar panel will be installed in a manner that allows vegetation to grow beneath them, further supporting local flora. Throughout this process, we have prioritised transparency and community engagement. Our consultation efforts include distribution of brochures, hosting a public drop-in event, maintaining a dedicated project webpage and feedback email. Information regarding the public consultation was communicated to our social media channels with a combined following of over 14,000 people. Invites were sent via our mailing list, which had a reach of over 22,150 people. As a result of the process, 91 consultation responses were received in total. 93 of the respondents noted their position in favour of the solar development in general terms. 73% in favour of the wider need to transition to renewable sources of energy. Feedback from the consultation directly informed several design changes, including increased screening and adjustment to panel height and layout. This demonstrates our responsiveness to the community input and our determination to balance sustainability goals with local concerns. The project is essential for the long-term resilience of our business, which faces escalating costs due to the rising energy prices, wage inflation, and broader economic challenges. By reducing our reliance on non-renewable energy sources, we can safeguard jobs, continue contributing to the local community, and reduce our environmental impact. We are proud to present a project that exemplifies thoughtful, sustainable development, one that balances the need for renewable energy and a deep respect for the natural world. It represents not only a vital step for our business, but also a meaningful contribution to the broader goals of sustainability and ecological stewardship in Staffordshire. The project is not only a step forward for Aston Marina, but also a point of pride for Staffordshire. It serves as a model for how renewable energy infrastructure can coexist harmoniously with natural landscapes and wildlife. By showcasing the sustainability and conservation are not mutually exclusive, this development highlights Staffordshire as a leader in innovative, environmentally responsible practices.
Thank you very much, thank you. And well timed. Thank you for that. You may return to your seat if you would, please. I don't think we have a ward member on this one. No? Okay. So we're open to committee.
Chairman, do you mind if I just have a quick closer look at the plan there?
Yeah, what do you want to move closer?
I just wanted to get up from my chair and just have another look. I wasn't able to access it on my computer here this morning. Thank you.
While Marnie's doing that, does someone else want to be? Councillor Brian Cross.
Yeah, I'll start if you like, Jim. Yeah, having gone through the report, I noticed that the agricultural statement, this is grade 4, possibly grade 5 land, so to me it's making good use of it. I had concerns about glare, but then again I noticed it's going to be anti-glare type...
material.
I've lost my track, yeah. Sorry. The panels will be the anti-glare type, so that alleviates that concern. I'm very impressed with the comments of the supporter. The organisation seems to have taken steps well beyond in respect of ecology and the use of trying to reduce costs for their business. Apart from that, I've got no problems, and I'd be happy to support the officer's recommendations.
Okay, who would like to speak next? Councillor Tony Nixon.
In fact, I'll propose that. So.
Well, I agree with what Councillor Cross has just said, and if he's proposing...
I'll propose that, Chairman.
I'll second that.
All right. Does anyone want to speak before we take that? Just, I know I should take the vote, but...
I think we've got a very well-constructed project here that is very environmentally sound, and I'm very happy to support it.
And Councillor Marnie Phillips?
I just wanted to ask on Plan 5, where it's showing the wire mesh fence, I'm assuming that, if I'm right, for what I can see, the wire mesh fence is going on the... I can see a little arrow pointing.
Do you want me to point
on the
out?
Inside?
Yeah.
Is that right? All the way around there?
Yeah.
So is that sitting on the top of the bund, or is it sitting down at the bottom?
Am I getting on?
Yes, yeah.
Sure. The fence is in the sunken section, it's at the lower
section.
Point.
So through you, Chairman, so how much will we see above the bund?
So the excavated to a maximum of 3 metres deep, and then the fence is 2 metres, sorry. So we shouldn't see any of the fence above the bund.
Okay.
Right, we have had it proposed to be approved by Councillor Brian Cross, supported by Councillor Tony Nixon, to approve with only one variation in terms of the height of the poles on which the camera
is. Yeah, subject to the is conditioned in the report.
Okay, so on that basis, please indicate if you support.
Sorry, Chairman.
We're going to take him about Barney.
I just wanted to ask a further question, if that was okay, regarding the fence. Yeah. Are we talking about a metal fence that's silver, or is it blending into...
No, it's welded mesh fencing.
So it is proposed as a wire mesh fence metal. However, condition 6 requires it to be timber posts with wire mesh, so more like deer fencing style.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify on that.
It wouldn't be steel panels, so
thank you.
Okay, right, we are going to take a vote now. All those in favour, please show. It's full house. Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you. Move on to second application on today's agenda. Moving to page 24/39728, County Hospital, Western Road, Stafford. Ed, you want to lead on this one?
Yeah.
Thank you.
So this application is a committee due to the site area. It's a large scale major application because of the BNG area, which is the large red edged area of green space at the bottom of that plan. It seeks permission for a scheme of County Hospital for a breast care unit and includes re-landscaping of the area beside the proposed building where we walked this morning and biodiversity enhancements to the south, as I've just explained. The plan view shows the location of the hospital off Western Road. It's to the east of Stafford Town Centre. Western Road is the route running from the bottom of the screen to the middle of the right-hand side. And the application site includes the two elements as discussed. These are connected through by the main access route through the site, as you can see. The photo plan shows the location of the following four photographs. The first is a view from the green infrastructure at the south of the site. This is within the hospital complex, from near to the entrance off Western Road. You can see the main hospital building in the background. The second is a view of the site of the proposed building. The outpatients building is behind and to the right, and the line of, the row of lime trees is to the left. A view of the other side of the site. The works that you can see there are the remains of the modular building, which was until recently in this location. And four is a view from the site from beyond the car parks. The outpatients building again visible in views between the mature landscaping of the wider site. Plan one is the site plan, which shows the location of the proposed breast care unit adjacent to the outpatients building. A link corridor on the left hand side and external plant compound on the right hand side of the building. And to the south of that area is the landscaped garden. Plan two is the landscaping detail of that element of the site. As you can see, that's a much more landscaped area where the compound was this morning. Plan three is the ground floor. This includes more office space and utilities. Plan four is the first floor of the proposed building. That includes the link. So the link from the first floor of the proposed building goes into the ground floor of the outpatients building due to the ground levels. This is reception, consultation rooms and quiet rooms. Plan five is the roof plan, showing walkways and solar PV. And six and seven show the elevations. So the first elevation at the top of the screen, you can see the outpatients building behind, so you can see the difference in height between the two. And there's the other two sides of the building. As you can see, it's clad above there are various different colours of cladding proposed on the building. As per the officer's report, there's an outstanding detail relating to drainage design. The application is for public infrastructure development, which legislation allows us a shorter time period for determination. And as the proposed development comprises the provision of an important healthcare facility for the borough, the recommendation is that committee resolved to delegate authority to the Head of Economic Development and Planning to determine the application subject to the objection from the lead local authority being lifted, lead local flood authority being lifted, on the basis of further information that's due to be submitted. Should any conditions be recommended by the flood authority, these are to be agreed with the chairman, and this is recommendation B in the report. Such a resolution would assist in moving forward the project without any unnecessary delay to the construction programme. With regard to the conditions that are recommended in the agenda, I've got three updates following the receipt of additional information. Condition four, on page 40. Condition four is now no longer required. Ground gas report has been submitted. and the council's environmental health service, so they've stated that this is satisfactory. Condition 6 should be revised to read, the development shall be carried out in accordance with the horticultural method statement, reference P03 version 2A, that's a November 2024 document, following the submission of a revised statement which the council's tree officers confirmed covers the requirements of the originally drafted condition 6. That would therefore require no further submission of condition 6. And condition 9 to be revised to read that the development is first landscaped in accordance with drawings 001P02 and 4001P01. These again are revised landscaping drawings which the council's tree officer confirms covers the requirements of the condition as originally drafted, on the basis that significant mitigation is now proposed to cover the concerns raised. So again, no further information would be required on that condition. The recommendation is that the authority determine that the application, sorry, the authority to determine the application is delegated to the Head of Economic Development and Planning, subject to the flood authority's objection being lifted, subject to conditions on the report as verbally updated. Those are conditions 4, 6 and 9. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Ed. We don't have anyone speaking in objection, but we do have the support of Mr. Tom Hallett.
Thank you.
Tom, you have 10 minutes.
Okay, thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Tom Hallett. I'm acting on behalf of University Hospitals of North Midlands NHS Trust, who are proposing the development of a new breast care unit, external plant compound, solar PV, corridor connection to the existing outpatients department and areas of landscape improvement. I'm pleased to see that the development is recommended for approval and would like to make just only a handful of comments about our proposals, which I hope will be helpful. The development will deliver a range of important benefits, including capitalising on the recent award of NHS England funding, the provision of a compliant area for the existing breast care team, which will ensure that breast care services at county hospitals can develop in line with the aspirations of the Trust. An important part of the new breast care unit is that it will enable clinics to run concurrently, allowing improved patient throughput, delivery of a BRIAM excellent healthcare facility, provision of a new state-of-the-art facility that reflects the latest expert healthcare design guidance and specifications for breast cancer care pathways, and the development of a new landscape garden that will allow for quiet reflection and contemplation while simultaneously offering over 43% in net biodiversity enhancement. The existing breast care services at University Hospitals of North Midlands NHS Trust is provided by a multidisciplinary team of healthcare and administrative professionals. The team works according to nationally recognised guidelines and is rigorously monitored to ensure compliance, taking a full and active part in national peer reviews and NHS breast screening programme quality assurance visits. North Midlands breast screening provides a service for North and Mid Staffordshire and the surrounding areas. Screening mammograms are performed at two units, one in Hanley and the other at County Hospital. There are also three mobile sites. The intention of the screening programme is to detect breast cancer at an early stage where there is ultimately a better chance of successful treatment. In approving this application, this will deliver a new compliant area for the existing breast care team. The proposals facilitate a move from their existing non-clinical compliant accommodation that is located within the current hospital campus. Once operational, it is intended that there will be a seamless transition of services and equipment with no consequential increase in activity or staff. The new two-storey building is to be located on land at the eastern edge of the hospital, close to A&E. We'll have that corridor link connection to the existing outpatients department. The new unit would replace a former modular office building that has recently been removed from the site. And as noted in your officer's report, whilst that new unit is larger than the building it is replacing, it's considered that any visual impacts would largely be mitigated by it being set lower than the adjacent outpatients building, and by its distinctive architecture, which the council's design advisor recognises will be a notable improvement. A critical recommendation of recent quality assurance visits was to ensure better separation of patient flow. The ground floor of the new building will contain patient-facing clinical rooms and is essentially divided into two distinct departments, surgical and imaging, with shared waiting areas and support services located between them. The surgical site comprises a series of consultation, examination rooms and offices for staff, whilst the imaging department consists of mammography, ultrasound and supporting office space. The central corridor provides a circular route with quiet rooms located at the end and near a proposed discreet side exit for patients. A stair court and lift provide access to the lower ground floor, which will primarily be used by staff, but is also to provide access to the prosthesis fitting room. The lower ground floor mostly comprises of staff offices and clinical support spaces. The development proposes that improvement to the existing landscaped area to the immediate rear of the new building, which largely functions as a pedestrian cut-through to the A&E department at the moment. As part of the development, the Trust wished to create a more of an area to sit and dwell with space for quiet contemplation and bench seating surrounded by soft planting. An important focus for the new breast care unit is that sustainability should be visible within the design. A critical requirement of the Trust is that the building is designed and built to meet BREEAM Excellent. Several core sustainable strategies are to be applied in the development, including the installation of solar PV on the roof. And the Trust aspires for the development to embody an emphasis on green infrastructure, biodiversity and use of landscape to help ensure the building is resilient to the effects of climate change. The significant material considerations to justify the grant of planning consent that will deliver vital healthcare facilities. Whilst it is recognised there is still work to be completed in respect of the drainage strategy, this is in hand and our engineers are undertaking the necessary further surveys requested to address queries on the condition and capacity of the existing network. We hope you're able to endorse your officer's recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you. Okay, who wants to start? Scott Spencer.
Whereas I don't disagree with the scheme in its sort of entirety of the building and the needs for such a building, I do have a little bit of an issue maybe with the landscaping plan and what's existing and what's proposed. Looking at the tree officer's report, basically regarding the row of lime trees, I don't quite understand why the development is losing a significant proportion of these trees when, if we compare the plan we have, what's proposed to what's existing, the majority of those lime trees are within the landscaped area that is to be retained. So I don't quite understand why they're being lost. It seems to be just to say, oh, we'll get offset it with net gain in the other green space, doesn't seem to me to be able to offset the loss of such mature trees. I wonder if we can potentially, if this we agree to pass this, to have an additional condition to say try and retain as many of those lime trees as possible, because the tree officer can't really see a reason as to why they're being lost. And also the tree officer recommends that if they are to be lost, that the planting scheme should include lime trees within it, field maples and white beans. I can't see anything within the plans that have been proposed that states lime trees, field maples or white beans to be included. So if we were proposed to approve, I would like some sort of mitigation or some sort of condition to try and retain those lime trees as much as possible. Please, Jeff.
Do you have any response on that one?
To resolve that concern, it is possible to revise condition 9 in a separate manner, say to continue to require submission of a detailed landscaping arrangement to be supported by further information on the trees. The tree officer can be happy that those trees are either suitable for retention or otherwise.
That would make me more comfortable, okay, because they are other than the north, as we see the north eastern section corner where I can see, because of the development, they do need to be removed because it would restrict the construction. To the south west, I do not see, as they're in landscaped areas, why they need to be removed at all.
Okay, just read that again, please, what you're proposing, Roger.
So, as condition 9 is now within 12 months of the development nearby approved, first being brought into use, the site should be landscaped in accordance with a soft landscaping scheme, which should first be submitted to and approved in writing. So far we've got, should be broadly in accordance with the initial drawing. However, it would be sensible to be broadly in accordance with the drawing you've got on screen, which is P02, revision P02. to include details on location of proposed planting, maintenance schedule to ensure the establishment of trees, details to demonstrate how planting trees shall have sufficient ground suitable for unrestricted root growth and for planting trees to their approximate maximum perceived ground spread. And those landscaping details to be submitted to be justified basically by
retention of the land.
Yeah, the retention or the loss of.
Can we have that added in sort of the retention is really something which you could need to do rather than wholesale removal. Is that something that could be added as a condition?
I think based on the whether or not they were suitable for retention, in terms of being supported by appropriate arboricultural information, that justifies that, and our tree officer being satisfied that that is accurate. That's reasonable.
I can't remember. Andy, was it good?
No, I was just reading 9.5 on trees. It seems to indicate that those trees aren't in particularly good condition. You know, it says they've got mechanical root damage, open cavities because of probably the temporary building that was there. I would have thought maybe we'd be better off letting those go because they might become sort of diseased and cause a problem in the future and make up with them with the new trees in the new landscaped area. So I'd have thought from that tree report they're not worth that much keeping.
Councillor Tony Nixon.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, I think it's a marvellous addition to the hospital for the people of Stafford and Staffordshire, the entire area, really. And subject to the event about the flood authority, I propose we accept this as it says here. These are above options about the flood are suggested to avoid delays in construction, and we certainly don't want any delays if we can possibly avoid them. So subject to what was mentioned about the flooding, I propose we accept this.
Okay, I second that.
Okay, thank you.
Chairman, I think
thank you very much. So proposed by Councillor Tony Jackson.
You just need to clarify what condition he's proposing, because there's two recommendations.
Yes, I'll come back
to that. Agree with conditions.
Councillor Marnie Phillips.
I agree with Councillor Spencer, and I was going to raise the same point that he has. And bearing in mind that the tree officer is talking about the fact that they're not necessarily an accurate assessment of the trees that are there, I think if we do put this proposal through, it needs to be with the addition that has been made to the conditions. Please, if we can do that. I'm not sure whether that's what Councillor Nixon.
I thought that's already been suggested.
Yeah. Councillor Spencer.
Can I just back up there what Marnie's, what Councillor Phillips has said as well. In the tree officer's report, the fourth point down, it does say all but one of these trees has failed poor psychological condition recorded, which may not be a fair and reasonable assessment. So the tree officer does not agree with the assessment that has been put forward on the condition of the trees. That's page 36, fourth point down, of tree officer's.
Also, 29, page 29.
I've got 29,
9.5.
Well, we have said that the condition could go in about trying to retain, subject to a health check on the trees. Those within the landscape area obviously can't retain the ones that are going to be built on.
No, indeed. Well, there's no trees to be. Yeah.
So,
how would we work that to?
It would be the landscape details would need to be already need to be demonstrated through a tree report to be a standard that they are suitable for retention and could be retained with the proposed development.
I'm sorry, through the chairman, who will be doing the report? How can we ensure that the report is accurate, bearing in mind our tree officer doesn't perceive the report to be entirely accurate as it stands? How can we ensure that the new report will be?
Okay, just taking advice there. So we had the proposal to accept, and it's been seconded, but there's also this second amendment, if you like. So shall we have a vote on the amendment about retaining the trees,
yes,
the lime trees? insofar as possible.
Yes.
As an added condition. So, does anyone like want to propose that? Then
I'll propose that, Chair.
Okay, so vote on that amendment and that amendment only. Please show. 3, 4, 5, 6, 6. Okay. So that part is carried then. And then the record, sorry, those against? Okay, 2. I'll be abstaining on that. Okay, now we've had the, now we have the vote on to approve the application subject to one of those conditions.
And to delegate to the...
Yes, so condition 2.
Yes, yes. Recommendation 2. Perfect.
So, is that, Tony, are you proposing approval subject to condition 2 in that delegated to the head of development?
Yes, that is what I was on page 32.
Yeah.
The recommendation is that the authority is delegated to the head of development to approve.
Okay, right, sorry. Sorry, guys, if you want to go with condition 2, you don't get a vote on it. if it's delegated to the head of economic development and planning.
Yeah. Chair.
Yeah.
Chair, just to leave it at that. Chair, just to clarify, although we don't have a vote on the it being passed, the amendments that we voted on will be carried through to that.
Into the report.
Yeah, so the recommendation is that the authority to determine the application is delegated to the head of planning based on the drainage details coming through and being acceptable, so the lead local flood authority lifting their objection. So by voting today, if the committee are resolving to take that option, you're effectively resolving to approve the application subject to that being resolved. But it wouldn't need to come back to committee once you have those drainage details. The head of planning would make that decision.
With the condition amendment that we've...
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, everyone.
Who seconded
Tony? Was it Gareth Jones? Okay, well, you can't do any more. That's the end of that.
Do we need to vote on delegating?
Oh, do we do need to vote on delegating the powers?
Yeah.
Okay. Who proposed that we delegate the powers as per condition 2? Tony Nixon, Gareth Jones, and now show your hands. Thank you. That's unusual, wasn't it? Thank you very much, everyone.